Exodus chapter 3. I'd like to turn there in your Bibles with me. Exodus chapter 3. The Bible says that Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the Lord your Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the home of the Ites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? And what shall I tell them? In verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. The greatest thing that ever happened to Moses took place in the desert. On the far side of the desert. Now, if anybody can relate to Moses living in the desert, it should be us right here. The desert, this place, is very different than anywhere else, certainly very different than anywhere else I've ever lived. And I think unless you were born here and lived here all your life, coming here to the desert takes quite an adjustment. I know it was a little adjustment for us coming from Pennsylvania where we have a thing called grass. The desert can be, well, it's a different world. It can be a harsh and unforgiving climate. I know one thing, the desert destroys wiper blades. Seems like every time it rains, you need new wiper blades. What happened to the brand new ones you put on last time? There's very little vegetation, very little green, but an awful lot of rocks. You know, I never lived in a place before where the goal of everybody is to clear your yard of everything. And when I came here, I remember the first time I heard of a thing called a hula ho. I thought, what is that, some kind of Hawaiian dance or something? A hula ho? And we've seen pretty much every type of critter that the desert has to offer so far. We've seen a tarantula. We've gotten our fill of scorpions and centipedes. We've seen quite a few snakes. We had the grandkids not long ago down to that nature preserve in Morongo Valley, and walking along the pathways there, all of a sudden we went around a bend, and there stretched out across the walkway was a venomous snake. Well, we didn't continue any further till that thing moved. We literally, at our house, we have a little patio in the back of our house, and we like to sit out there in the summertime. And Linda and I were sitting out there, I think this was a summer before last, we were sitting out there, and we heard this plop. And we looked and we saw this black thing that fell off the roof onto the sidewalk, and all of a sudden it uncoiled and slithered away. We had a snake fall off our roof. Desert is a strange place. Joshua trees and yucca plants and cacti that will attack you. Roadrunners and coyotes, jackrabbits. And absolutely everything here has needles, stickers, and thorns. And we live in a place where you actually get excited when it rains. Except we don't get very excited about the roof leaks. But Moses found himself living in the desert, tending his father-in-law's sheep. Now, he spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt. He lived in the king's palace. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He had the very best of everything. But one day, all of that changed when he murdered an Egyptian and he fled far away to the desert of Midian. And there he lived in the wilderness for 40 long years. But something pretty incredible happened to Moses there on the far side of the desert. See, Moses had known God before that. He was a Hebrew after all. But in the desert, Moses became all in. Moses received a special visitation, a revelation from God. Through the burning bush in no man's land, Moses experienced the power and the awesome glory of God. He was literally in the very presence of God, that God said, "Take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground." And that holy ground was where? It was on the far side of the desert. And Moses truly heard the voice of God for the first time in his life. It was in the desert that Moses really came to know the God of Israel. It was in the desert that God called him. It was in the desert that God changed his life. He received his call, his mission from God. It was in the desert that he became a fully committed man of God. The point is this, church. God used the desert place. God used the wilderness experience of his life. Moses became all in the desert. And that's the title of my message this morning. As we've been talking the last several weeks about being all in for Jesus, being fully committed to him and his work and his people. I want to talk today about being all in the desert. Lord, thank you for your spirit and your presence in this place today. It's an awesome thing to be in the presence of Almighty God. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, we need to see you. Lord, we need to experience you. Lord, we need a fresh encounter. I pray, Lord, that as we look into your word right now and the experience of Moses in the desert, I pray, God, that you would speak to every heart and every life. I pray, Lord, that we would see Jesus. Lord, one more time, I ask for the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit to flood through me, to to enable me to do that which I cannot do in my own, to preach your word in the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in the desert, don't we? We go through hard places, wilderness experiences. Usually it's not by choice, is it? The desert is not where we want to be. It's not enjoyable. It's not comfortable. It can be downright unpleasant and can be even painful. But those experiences can also be very productive. They can be necessary and valuable to us in the long run, because there's something special about those desert places, those wilderness experiences in our lives that God can use to teach us, to train us, to grow us, to develop us like He can in no other place. It can be a place where we can truly hear from God and experience His presence. A place where God can reach us, where He can call us, where He can show us His purposes. The desert is a great place to learn how to be all in. Moses enjoyed the comforts of Egypt for 40 years, but he didn't hear from God there. It was only in the desert, in the hot, the hard, the dry place of his life, that he heard from God and he had his first real and lasting encounter with God that changed his whole life. And we all want to enjoy the easy times, the comfortable places in life. We want to walk the smooth roads. But you know, that's not where we usually hear from God. I wonder, where are you today? Are you in a desert place? Maybe it's because God wants to meet with you there. Maybe it's because God wants to speak to you there. Maybe God wants to do something special, something powerful in your life. Maybe He's using your desert to bring you all in. So there's a few important things that we see in this experience of Moses in Exodus that I'd like us to get a hold of today. Number one, God often speaks to us in the desert. God often speaks to us in the desert. Again, it's very interesting to me that during all of those years in Egypt, Moses never heard from God. There's no indication that he had a real close connection with God. He knew about God. He was a Hebrew. He defended his own people. But all the while that things were going well and favorably for him, living in Pharaoh's household, nothing from God. Nothing. It took a drastic, dramatic turn in his life. It took a desert place. It took a wilderness experience for God to get Moses' attention. Many years ago, I spent quite some time in my life in business, owning and managing a retail store. I was a Christian. I was serving God. I was ministering in a church. Things were going pretty well. And for quite some time, my business was prospering. But I didn't realize how much I had drifted from God and how far away I had gone from His plan and His purpose for my life. It took a dramatic experience. Time that I don't have the time to explain to you what happened. But it took a dramatic experience for God to get my attention. He led me into a desert place. And my world was shaken. Things began to happen that were not in my plan. Things began to happen that I had no control over. Everything that I had and had worked for years to build and things that were going well began to slip through my fingers. And overnight, literally, church, overnight, I nearly lost everything that I had worked to achieve. Everything was about to evaporate overnight. And my world was shaken. And my faith was tested. But soon after that moment, one night after Bible study on a Wednesday night, while I was going through that wilderness experience, the Bible study was over. God brought me to the front pew. Everybody else had gone home. The pastor and the deacons were waiting to lock up the church. But God sat me in that front pew. And you can't see it. We have it behind the screen. But there's a cross. And God gave me a vision, a new, fresh vision of that cross and what Jesus had done for me there. And that night, sitting in that pew after Wednesday night Bible study, with my eyes and my attention fixated on that cross upon which Christ died for me and shed his blood for me, God spoke to my heart and he changed my life. After not hearing from God for a very long time, I heard from God again. I heard from God again. I had a fresh encounter with God again. And I think about Moses again and his experience. And you can skip over to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, beginning in verse 7, it says, "Now, and this is years later. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tent, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud will come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to his tent." Now watch verse 11. "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face." The Lord would speak to Moses face to face. Somebody's going to get this. As a man speaks with his friend. Many years later, wow. What an experience this man of God, Moses, had. That God spoke to Moses face to face. He heard God. He regularly heard the voice of God, received direction for the people. He had an incredible close relationship with God. Moses was all in, but where did it all start? How did it begin? It all started in the desert. On the far side of the desert, in the most desolate, the most unlikely place, it was there that Moses heard God's voice. There that he received God's direction for his life. Moses was called to ministry. He was equipped to be a strong and a wise and a skilled leader. It was there in the desert that Moses saw and he heard enough to cause him to fully commit and follow God. You see, the fact is, my friends, if there's no desert, there's no calling. If there's no desert, there's no commitment. If there's no desert, there's no change. If there's no desert, there would have been no Exodus. If Moses had not had his desert experience, would he ever have been all in? What about you? Have you ever had a desert experience? Have you ever been through the wilderness? Have you ever been in a hot, dry, hard, difficult, challenging place in your life. The bigger question is, what did you learn there? Did you hear from God there? Friends, we all, somebody say all. We all need to hear from God. We all need to experience His presence. And sometimes, oftentimes, that only happens in the desert. Are you in the desert right now? Listen. Listen for His voice. Let God speak to you in the desert. Let Him use your desert to bring you to where you need to be in Him. Let Him bring you to a place of full surrender, of complete commitment. Let Him bring you to that place where you can say, I am all in for Jesus. God often uses the desert to speak to us. Secondly, God often uses the desert for our good. He often uses the desert for our good. Nobody wants to be in a desert place. A wilderness experience is not easy, it's not comfortable, it's not convenient, it's not desirable, it's not enjoyable. But so often, God uses just those very places and those experiences for our good. You know, God is always looking out for your good. Because God is for you, He's not against you. And God is always wanting and working to make you better. And He often uses those desert places for your good, to teach us things that we just can't learn anywhere else. To grow us and develop us and change us. He uses the desert as part of the process of what He's doing in us to increase our faith, our trust, our dependence on Him. To teach us what it means to be a true disciple, a follower of Jesus. It's not fun. When I was living spiritually on the far side of the desert, it was a hard, it was a confusing, it was a lifeless time. And frankly, I want it out now. But God made me wait. Don't you just hate it when God makes you wait? Because I had a lot more to learn. If God had pulled me out, I would have missed what He wanted to do in my life. You know, I felt like those early settlers and what they must have experienced when they were crossing the vast deserts of the American West on their way to the Pacific Coast. It takes a while to drive across California and Arizona and New Mexico and West Texas to drive at 80 miles an hour or however fast you drive. Can you imagine on horseback, in a wagon, on foot, how long it took to cross the American wilderness on the way to the West Coast? I mean, it must have seemed absolutely endless that you're never, ever going to get across. Sometimes life feels that way, doesn't it? But God used that place to humble me. He used that time to get my attention. Because He brought me to a place where I had nothing left but Him. And eventually, He spoke to me there. He gave me a fresh vision, and He showed me the way to go. It was part of the process of learning and growing that could not be done any other way or in any other place. You see, my friends, God knows exactly where you are. and he knows what you need. He knows what you need to learn and where you need to grow, where you need to change. And there isn't one person here among us today that doesn't need to learn some more and grow some more and change some more. And God will put you in the right place. I didn't say he'll put you in the easy place, but he will put you in the right place. And God will take you through the right process to make you into the disciple he's called you to be. Because he knows exactly how, exactly when to reach us, to bring us into his perfect will, into his plan, to fulfill his purposes for you. Even if it means spending time on the far side of the desert, doing whatever it takes to get your attention. Because God wants more than anything for you to see him, to hear from him, for you to be all in. You know, the big thing about the desert is there isn't a whole lot there to drink. The desert, by very definition, is a dry place. In fact, the meteorological definition of a desert is it's a place that receives less than 10 inches of annual rainfall. I checked into it. Yucca Valley averages slightly over 5 inches of rain a year. I think we qualify for being a desert. I love to watch survival shows on TV. How many like to watch survival shows? And a lot of those survival shows take place in the desert because it's a very difficult place to survive. You get lost out in the desert, you've got big trouble. And people lost or stranded out in the desert run out of water very quickly in the hot and sunny and dry climate. And it's the need to find water quickly that becomes the most urgent, critical need. More than anything else, when you're lost in the desert, you need to find water fast. So a desert place, a desert experience, creates a desperate thirst. I've never experienced going for a period of time without water, and I don't want to. But people in those survival shows and the stories of their experiences indicate that it's a very horrific experience. They get thirsty beyond our imagination, beyond our comprehension. People even resort to ridiculous and desperate measures to get a drink. They're that thirsty. You know, folks, maybe God uses those places and times in our lives to create a thirst for him. To make us thirsty for God, for more of his Spirit, lest, God forbid, we get satisfied with where we are and what we have. Don't ever get satisfied with where you are in Christ. Be thirsty for more. Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." The psalmist in Psalm 42 says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." How important it is for each of us to have a thirst for more and more and more and more. Somebody say more. A thirst for more and more and more and more of God. To get to a place where if I don't get another drink of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to dry up and I'm going to die. God feeds those who are hungry. God gives drinks to those who are thirsty. Oh God, lead me to a place where I am thirsty for more of you. just talking to a pastor friend of mine recently. He was relaying his heartbreak over family who left his church. You know, if you have a pastor's heart, your heart is broken whenever anybody leaves the church. He's sharing his heartbreak with me over this family who had left his church, and he contacted them and he asked them why they had left, and they gave a very common answer. They said, "Pastor, we left because we just weren't being fed." Can't tell you how many times I've heard that answer. "Oh, we left. We need to go someplace where we're going to be fed." His heart was broken. And in ministering to them, he reminded them, and I know this, pastor, and I know it's true. He reminded them that the Word of God was preached, was taught regularly in that church. And he reminded them that they only ever attended church less than half of the time on Sundays. They never came to Wednesday night Bible study. They never showed up for Sunday school. But yet they said they weren't being fed. And he said, "You know, you won't be fed when you don't come when the food is being served." You know, friends, it's worth a walk on the far side of the desert to become thirsty for God. If you're thirsty, you will find drink. If you're hungry, you will find food. It's worth it to walk on the far side of the desert to become thirsty for more and more of the Spirit of the living God, to come to the well and drink, to hear the voice of God, to become a follower of Jesus who is all in. There's some things that God can only do in your life in the desert place. Moses spent 40 years in the house of Pharaoh and nothing happened. So he took Moses to the far side of the desert. Oh God, if that's where I'm going to hear you, if that's where I'm going to see you, if that's where I'm going to get filled with your Spirit, if that's where you're going to call me, if that's where you're going to change me, God, take me to the far side of the desert. He took Moses to the far side of the desert. He spoke to him and he changed him there. God often speaks to us in that desert place. God often uses those wilderness experiences for our own good, to grow us and teach us and develop us and increase our faith and to secure our commitment to Him. To be part of that process that He's leading us through to bring about His purposes in your life, to develop a thirst for more of Him, for more of His precious Holy Spirit. Where are you today, my friend? Are you in a desert place? You going through a wilderness experience? If so, I know two things for sure. Two things I know for sure. Number one, if you're in a desert place, God is already there. God is already there. And number two, if you're in a desert place, you may be exactly where you need to be for God to do His work. It may not be a pleasant experience, nor a comfortable place, but it can be a powerful experience and a life-changing place that God can use to make you into the person that He wants you to be. it wasn't for my desert places, I would not be standing here today. If it wasn't for my wilderness experiences, and I've got a long way to go, but I wouldn't be near the man of God I am today. But for the desert, place that God uses to make us into the people He's created us to be. So I'm going to close with this. If you're in a desert place, do this. If you're in a desert place, do this. Number one, stop, look, and listen. Stop, look, and listen. God may be wanting to speak to you. He may be wanting to meet with you in that place. Number two, let your desert experience drive you to God. To God. To God. Thirdly, let the desert make you thirsty for more of Him. And lastly, let God bring you out of the desert all in for Jesus. Let Him bring you out of the desert all in for Jesus. I want to invite you, as we draw this message and service to a close, I want to invite you to respond to the Word of God, to the voice of the Holy Spirit today. I don't know where you are right now, but God does. Maybe there's somebody here you need to give your heart and life to Jesus. I'm here to tell you some good news. The best news mankind has ever heard. God loved you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to come on this earth and to die on the cross for you. Because we're all sinners and we can't save ourselves. We couldn't reach heaven. No amount of good works could buy heaven. So God sent His Son down here to find us. Jesus is here for you today. Maybe you need to confess your sins. Maybe you need to invite Jesus into your heart, into your life, to change you, to forgive you, to give you the gift of eternal life. Will you put your faith in Jesus today? In a moment, I'm going to open up these altars that you can come. Jesus is only a prayer away. He's here right now. He's here for you. You can come. You can find a place of prayer, and you can give your life to Jesus, and you can walk out those doors today a brand new person in Christ. You may not have another chance to do this. Do it now. Maybe you're a believer, but maybe the well's running dry. You need to have a thirst for more of God. I want to invite you to come and find a place of prayer and let God fill you with the Holy Spirit and give you a drink of the water that will never run dry. Maybe you need to renew your commitment to Jesus. Maybe you need to say, God, I'm going to be all in. Because remember what I've been saying, if you're not all in, you're really not in at all. God's looking for sold out, all in, fully committed followers, disciples of Jesus. Maybe you need to come forward and find a place of prayer because it's been a while since you've heard from God. Maybe God wants to speak to you today. Maybe you need to see Jesus. Maybe you need to come forward because you're going through a wilderness experience. You're in a desert place, and it's a hard place. But God has a purpose for you in that place. Find a place of prayer and allow God to show you His plan and His purpose for your life. Brother Stu, would you put on that video, please, that says sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes it takes a desert for God to get a hold of me. God wants to speak to you, my friend. God wants to do something incredible in your life. The altars are open as this song comes on. I want to invite you to come. Not coming to me, not coming to this church. Coming to Jesus. And He's here for you with arms wide open. Come, let Him love on you a little bit. Let Him touch you a little bit. Let Him speak to you. Let Him fill you and flood your soul with the Holy Spirit. Would you come? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Who will be the first to step out, come forward, find a place of prayer with the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Even if the computer doesn't cooperate, that's not going to stop the Holy Spirit of God from moving in this place. Don't wait for the music to come. The music is a help, but it's the voice of God that we want to hear. Would you come? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
I want to see your face as clear as the midnight stars. I want to feel your love like a train running through my heart. After you, never ever looking back. Make a rule. I want to know you. You are the flame.
Thank you, Jesus.
My heart's on fire. Just like the sun tears through the darkness. I'm burning for you.
Up in the front or in the pew where you're seated. Just spend some time with Jesus. Thank you.
I want to play for you my greatest symphony. I want to sing to you a song the soul set free.
But I know that God is bigger than any of those things. And I pray that God has spoken to your heart, to your life today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence and your spirit in this place. Thank you for everybody that is here. Lord, I just pray that you would minister to each and every one, to every heart, God. Have your way, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for those, even those times in our lives that you lead us through. For those times that change us and make us into the people that you called us to be. Lord, bless these people, Lord. Thank you for everybody that is here. Thank you for those who are visiting with us for the first time. Lord, I pray that they've sensed your presence. Because, Lord, it's all about you. It's all about Jesus. Lord, just bless each person, every home and family that's represented. Have your way in our lives and in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The altars continue to be open if you'd like to come and pray. But thank you so much for being here. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.